The story from the book of Acts this morning is the reason that the church around the world on this past Thursday stopped to recognize and celebrate the Ascension of the Lord Day. It is the day where the church recognizes when Jesus ascends into heaven after the resurrection. That in this story in the book of Acts, it says that after the resurrection, Jesus remained with the disciples, teaching them for 40 days before he ascended into heaven, which was on Thursday. Now, I know in other places, in the Gospel of Luke, it insinuates that Jesus ascends into heaven much shortly after the resurrection, but in the book of Acts, it says he stayed for 40 days, which is a familiar number throughout the pages of Scripture. That we know that it rained on Noah's Ark for 40 days. And the people of God wandered throughout the wilderness for 40 years. And then the spies explored the land of Canaan for 40 days. Israel suffered under the Philistines for 40 years. Saul, David, and Solomon all reigned as king for 40 years. And then Goliath taunted the Israelites for 40 days. Jonah threatened those in Nineveh with repentance for 40 days. And Jesus was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days. So in the book of Acts, we find that Jesus remains with the disciples after the resurrection, teaching them for 40 days. And then he ascends into heaven with the disciples standing there watching him depart. But it says, then two people showed up wearing white robes, standing next to the disciples and asking them, "Why do you stand there looking up towards the heavens?" When I was growing up, I did not know anything about the Ascension of the Lord Day. I knew that it rained on Noah's Ark for 40 days. I had no idea Jesus stayed to teach the disciples for 40 days after the resurrection. But even though I did not know anything about the Ascension of the Lord, I do remember always looking up. That whenever we got together at church for a Bible study, whenever we started to take prayer requests from around the room, whenever we talked about the life of Jesus, our eyes were always directed towards the heavens. Either because the world was corrupt and heaven is perfect, or because we need the help of God found in the heavens, or because we needed the forgiveness of Jesus, all of which is important and good. But if we are always looking so far off, we just might miss the Spirit of God in our midst. And whenever I think about the Spirit of God, I cannot help but think about baptism. Because when we look back on Jesus' baptism there in the River Jordan, there's that dove descending upon him like the Holy Spirit. And years ago, I went with a group of young people to Passport Youth Camp. And the theme that summer was echo. It was all about calling, and not just vocational calling or a calling to the ministry, but that general calling that we all share as followers of Jesus. But they did have one particular rotation for any students who were thinking about a calling to vocational ministry. And when we met with them that week, one day we talked about baptism. And we talked about all of their questions. And then we taught them how to baptize. That we all walked down to the pool in the center of college campus, and we jumped into the water, and they practiced baptizing one another. And standing there watching them, I realized how incarnational baptism really is. It is the Word become flesh, that we showed them where to position their hands when they would lean each other back into the water, and how to keep the person from breathing in too much water when they were underneath, and then how to raise them back up to a standing position without being pulled under at the same time. That baptism reminds us that we don't have to be looking towards the heavens to find the presence of God right now. And it's probably why Jesus said everything that he said in that prayer for the disciples and for us in John 17, that he says, I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And he goes on to say, I'm not asking to take them out of the world. Or, as you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And the reason for this prayer and Jesus focusing on being in the world is, as Jesus says, so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. That we don't go looking towards the heavens because we might miss the joy of God in the present. As William Sloan Coffin said, joy is the most important Christian emotion. Duty calls only when gratitude fails to prompt. That joy is the most important Christian emotion, and perhaps the most misunderstood. That joy is not the same thing as duty. Joy is rooted in gratitude. Duty is focused on responsibility. And joy is not the same thing as happiness. It's much deeper and more essential. The joy is not an escape from this world or even what is hard. It is our gratitude for the gifts of life, the gifts of love, and the gifts of hope as we find them in this world. Fred Craddock tells this wonderful story that perhaps we have all experienced at one point or another, that he was standing on the curb of the church parking lot, watching the church vans pull in full of all these teenagers, and as they got off the vans, they all looked like they needed a really good night's rest. That they had been away that week on a mission trip. And they had worked very hard. They got up early in the morning. They ate a peanut butter and jelly sandwich every day for lunch. They worked in the hot sun. They slept in a sleeping bag on the floor at night. They spent their days playing with children, out there doing yard work or swinging a hammer, hitting nails. They had a busy week. And as they poured off of those vans, some of them just sat down on their luggage right there in the middle of the parking lot, unable to move anymore, just waiting for their parents to scoop them up, pour them into the minivan, drive them home so they could go to sleep. And Craddock asked one of them, "Are you tired?" And the teenager looked up and said, "I'm exhausted." "But," he said, "it is the best tired I have ever felt." It is the joy of God. That there is that joy in this world when we know where to look for it. That we find it wherever the Spirit of God is at work. We find it wherever a child is heard and loved. Wherever a senior adult feels purpose and calling. We find it where dialogue leads to discovery. Or where a community surrounds us in our grief or in our celebration, we find it in service to others, and we find it in that hope of rebuilding what is lost. That there is joy woven into this world if we know where to look for it. If we only read the headlines or listen to the sound bites, we will only see what is wrong. And if we only pay attention to what is shared or posted, we will only see what others want us to see, which is never the entire picture. And if we are always looking off towards the heavens, we just might miss the joy of God in the present. That Jesus sent us into this world, and we do not act only out of duty, that we respond out of gratitude. Where we discover the joy of the presence of God in the present moment. That it is not always easy, but it is the best kind of tired we have ever felt. Amen.